This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. On behalf of Nurul Mubin Publications as well as At-Tanzeel Institute, I'd like to welcome everybody to this broadcast, and I'd also like to extend our thanks and say Jazakumullah Khairan to Isnad Academy for hosting this particular broadcast. So the session is basically to give more information with regard to the course that we'll be having on the book Irshad al-Talaba ila al-Tamyiz bayna al-Qira'at al-Ashara, guiding the students to discerning between the 10 recitations. So why are we having this particular course? Basically, it is to dispel some of the ignorance that there is surrounding Qira'at. Alhamdulillah, for a number of years now, I've been studying and teaching Qira'at. And despite the increased interest in Qira'at and the increase in the number of people that are familiar with Qira'at, we still find that there's a lot of ignorance surrounding this particular subject. So, for example, I read now in the Taraweeh Salah, in the Ramadan past, and I read according to a different riwayah, a different Qira'ah. And then a couple of months after, somebody mentioned to me that somebody was in the Jama'ah and they thought that I was reciting incorrectly. Similarly, I had a message from a student with regard to him also experiencing something similar. He read in a different qira'ah during a particular salah, and he was wondering whether he should do this or not. Should he be reciting in the qira'ah or not? And again, his doubt was about the ignorance of the people. What are the people going to think if they hear this, and are they not aware that this is actually a correct way of reading the Quran? So my response to him was that I feel we should continue to read the Qira'at in the Salah. And through this, people will hopefully become aware of the existence of different Qira'at, and hopefully that will increase the knowledge. And if people have questions, then they should come forward and approach the person and question him, and he can then clarify the situation. And the student posed the same question to my teacher, Mawlana Salim Ghaibi, who gave a bit of a more nuanced response, and he said that you have to consider the Jama'ah and the people. That here in Cape Town, alhamdulillah, most people are aware of the existence of Qira'at, and when you recite in the Masajid and you recite in the different Qira'at, you don't really get a backlash or any people questioning it and so on. Whereas in other places, that might not be the case. So the solution to this is therefore to spread the knowledge of Qira'at, to make people aware of the existence of Qira'at, and to make them aware of what the different Qira'at exactly entail in terms of reciting in the different Qira'at. So it requires us as students of Qira'at to spread this knowledge and to have courses like this one, hopefully. So this is the first time this course is running, but my hope is that it won't be the last time, that after this one, hopefully other students out there will hopefully teach this book as well within their local communities, and through that, hopefully this ignorance that we have surrounding Qira'at can hopefully be dispelled. And subhanAllah, the extent of it is that it is not only limited to like the general person, the lay person, but even people that are within the field of deen, people that have studied deen, people that have studied at Darul Ulooms, they spent a number of years studying the deen, but yet they have very basic knowledge with regards to the Qira'at. So that if they also hear people reciting in a different qira'ah, they don't know which qira'ah it is. And so hopefully, perhaps maybe this course could be incorporated within that particular syllabus as well, so that those students become equipped within a very short period of time, hopefully, to, if not be able to recite in a different qira'ah, but to at least to be able to identify the differences. So we find that the science of qira'ah, it is very closed off. Many of you that have registered for this course have indicated that you have completed hafs, you've completed one or two qira'at, and you'd know then that it takes a number of years, subhanAllah. You first have to learn the tajweed correctly, then you have to recite the khatam, and then after that, complete another khatam in a different qira'ah, different riwayah, and that takes years upon years. So for some people, just to get to the point where they want to start to study qira'ah, it takes them such a long period of time. And therefore, for them, they even get demotivated and don't even get to that point. They get all excited and they all energized, they want to study qira'ah. But now they first have to do the tajweed, they first have to correct the errors, they have to spend a number of years or months reciting to a teacher, and then only get to the point of studying qira'ah. So this course will hopefully speed up that process. We don't have to wait so long until we get to that point we can study qira'ah. So within the period of just a few short weeks, hopefully people will come equipped with some knowledge with regard to qira'ah. So obviously those of you that are attending the course, you need to know something about the person that is teaching you. And I was hopeful that Mona Salim could have actually done this for me, but unfortunately he was not able to join us on this particular occasion. He has a class that he's currently teaching. But just some basic information with regard to myself. My name is Munawwar Hanika. I'm a student and a teacher at Tanzeel Institute. I completed my Hifz under the tutelage of Sheikh Ismail Burdin. And that was at the Hafiz and Quran Literacy Academy. I completed a degree in IPSA, in Islamic Studies from IPSA, and a degree in Education from CPUT. And I've received Sanad and Ijazah in the 7 Qira'at from Sheikh Abdullah Peterson, 3 Qira'at from Qari Salim Gaibi, and the minor 10 Qira'at from Sheikh Abdullah ibn Salih Al Ubaid. And I'm currently studying the major 10 Qira'at, the Ashara Kubra, with Qari Salim Gaibi. I've also written a few books on Tajweed, on Qira'at, on Adul Fawasil, and also on Ilm al-Rijal to a lesser extent. The course objective, what do we hope to achieve at the end of this course? At the end of this course, hopefully, the attendees will be able to identify any Qira'at that are being recited. So this is not a course where the attendees are going to learn to recite. Alhamdulillah, we've had quite a good response so far in terms of the number of people that have registered. And so obviously, to get people to recite and to learn to recite, it's not something you can do within a matter of just a few weeks. That is something, as I've mentioned, it takes years upon years upon years to get to that point where you can recite in a different riwayah, recite in Warush, recite in Qalun, and so on. So the idea is this, that many of us, alhamdulillah, hopefully we are that level of knowledge with regard to qira'at that we know that there are other qira'at out there. You might be familiar with those names I've just mentioned now, those qira'at I just mentioned. So you know that there's a riwayah of Warush, there's a qira'at of Nafi', a qira'at of Kisa'i, and so on. But for most of us, that is the extent of our knowledge of qira'at. We simply know of the existence. But when we hear reciting a different qira'ah, we have no idea. We have no idea which riwayah is it. Is it Susi? Is it Khalaf? Is it Khalad? Is it Abdul Harith? Some of us maybe, okay, we know we can identify Warsh. It's one of the more answer or a bit more common. But the idea is that at the end of this course, when you hear a qira'ah being recited, you should be able to identify exactly which one it is. If not exactly the riwayah, then at least the qira'ah. So you should be able to hear, okay, that riwayah that person read, it was Warsh. Then you hear somebody else reading and identify, okay, that was Khalaf, and so on. So it is to identify and be able to discern between the qira'at. Basically, the title of the book, it summarizes what the objective is, to be able to discern between the 10 qira'at. The course structure. So it will be that every lesson will cover two topics. And each topic includes notes and exercises. So if I just switch over to this particular document over here, this is the book itself, and it shows you the contents. Irshad, I don't know, can the people see the screen I'm currently sharing? Okay, so This is the different topics that we have within the different chapters, and how we intend to cover it is we hope to do at least two topics per week. We want to not let the course run for too long, and therefore each subtopic cannot be a lesson on its own. So basically we're going to be doing two lessons within every week. As you can see over here, week one, the 10 Qiraat, as well as Nusakin and Tanween, the next week, Mad Badal, as well as Madaleen, and so on. So that hopefully we can complete within a period of 12 weeks. Maulana Salim had a suggestion of having it over 10 weeks, so it doesn't become too long for the attendees. But I felt then some of the lessons probably would be a bit rushed. So we rather decided to leave it at 12 weeks. And each topic includes notes and exercises. So if I go to one example, for example, Nusakin and Tanween. So they're just very basic and brief notes with regard to that particular topic and then exercise. And that is going to be a key part of the book in terms of achieving its objective. So after I've explained within the lesson that particular notes, I will then go on to recite this particular verses within the lesson. And the attendees should be able to pick up how is this recitation different from the normal riwaya of Hafs. What application is being applied here that is different to the normal application. And then after that, listen to certain complete suwar on their own and again try to pick up those particular applications. The course duration, as I mentioned, it will run for 12 weeks. But how I've structured the book is that chapter 2 has what I call the singular applications. You don't find this term within the Qiraat. It is a term I've coined. But it's basically those applications where there's only one Qari or one Rawi that reads within that particular way. So that will be very easy then to identify that particular Qiraat. If you hear that particular application, there's only one particular Qari that recites in that way. So when you hear that application, you know, obviously, it must be that particular qira'ah. So all of those applications, they will be covered within the first 6 weeks of the course. Thereafter, we will go on to what I've called the combined applications. You have a particular way of reading, and it's not only one qari that reads in that way, but maybe two or three or even more. So when you hear that, you don't know exactly who the qari is, but you have at least narrowed it down. You've narrowed it down from all the qira'ah to maybe just two or three. So the first 6 weeks will cover the single applications. The remaining 6 weeks will be covering something that's a bit more complicated, which is the combined applications. And therefore, at the end of 6 weeks, maybe some people will realize that it's getting a bit hectic for them. Then it will be fine if they opt to leave the course at that particular point. Hopefully at that point in time, they will have gained some knowledge and be able to identify at least some of the different qira'at. The course requirements. So what does a person need to be able to take part in this course? I've mentioned that there are basically no requirements, except that it would be very helpful if people have a basic knowledge of the Tajweed rules of Hafs. So for example, Nunsakin and Tanween, there are four rules, Ikhfa, Idgham, Iqlab, Ikhfa, and so on. The rules of Mimsakina, the rules of Mad. If the person is not really familiar with them, we will be covering some basic revision of that within the lesson itself that is relevant to the lesson. And we'll also be providing beforehand resources that people can read through on their own just to revise those particular rules. But looking at the people that have registered and information they have given, alhamdulillah, most people have indicated that they have done at least some studies with regard to Tajweed. And that would be very helpful. Basically, Qira'ah is just a different set of Tajweed rules. So we read according to the riwayah of Hafs. When you're reading according to the riwayah of Warsh, it is the same Quran, just that different Tajweed rules apply. And that is basically Qira'at. It is not reciting in a particular slow, melodious way, like we hear the likes of Abdul Basit and Shawi and so on. Some people think that that is Qira'at. And myself, subhanAllah, also had that impression when I was younger. And that's actually a misconception. And for me, it was something that actually prevented me from learning Qira'at. I felt that I didn't have the ability to recite in that particular way. And so I thought Qira'at is not for me. But then afterwards I realized that you can actually learn and just recite in your normal way, but applying the different Tajweed rules. So there are no requirements. You don't have to be a Hafidh al-Quran. You don't have to have achieved Sanad in the riwayah of Hafs or in a different Qira'at. This course is hopefully for everybody, but you need to have at least some basic knowledge of tajweed rules. And obviously, the more grounded you are in these tajweed rules, the easier the course will be for you. Obviously, those that have completed maybe one or two of the different qira'at, riwayat, for them, hopefully, to learn the rules of the others will be a bit easy. But the course is open to everybody. The time commitment. What will people have to commit in terms of attending this course? So it will be a 1 hour live session per week. So therefore, within that 1 hour live session, I said we're going to cover two topics. So it will be basically approximately half an hour for each of those topics. It will be very tight to get everything done within that period of time. But hopefully we're able to manage, and hopefully the attendees will give me some grace in terms of maybe giving some extra time if that is necessary. But I'll try my best to keep it to just 1 hour per session per week. And then obviously as we go on, there'll be more and more and more rules. So it'll be helpful if people do some revision during the week, maybe just half an hour. And the important part of this course is to listen. To listen to the different qira'at being recited, the different riwayat. So not necessarily having to sit down and study for half an hour. As you may be driving in your car, going to work, listening to the different qira'at, that will be the revision that will be required. So not something you necessarily have to take time out to do it. Like during your daily activities, maybe you're busy in the kitchen, then you can still listen and do actually that revision that would be required. The cost for the course. So I feel always a bit conflicted in having these types of courses. But I feel that this is knowledge of Islam, knowledge of the Quran, knowledge of the Deen, and that should be freely available to people. On the other hand, though, attaching a cost to it has its own pros as well, in that if somebody is paying for something, they definitely take it much more seriously. Some days you might feel a bit lazy. So now, if you're not paying for it, okay, I'm not up to it, let me just skip that particular class. But if you feel, okay, I've paid for it, then you're definitely going to make more of an attempt to actually attend every class seriously. So to strike a balance between that, I have made the course free, but attendees, I feel that people should be willing to pay. That if you have maths, and I'm a math teacher as well, people are willing to pay for that. They send the kids for tuition, and they are willing to pay for that. So therefore, similarly, with knowledge of the deen, we should have a higher regard for that, and we should be willing to pay for that. So if people are by the means, and then they can make a contribution towards the cost of the course, if they can, and as I said, I feel people should be willing to do so. However, there are people maybe that's not by the means, and therefore, in order not to exclude them, the course is free of charge. So for those who would like to possibly make a donation, there's the PayPal link that can be used and the account details. And for those people that have registered after this particular session, I will share this PowerPoint in the group, so then you'll have access to all of these notes, inshallah. So the book that we'll be using, I mentioned it, the name at the beginning, and you saw the picture of the cover at the beginning. So the cost for the particular book is 150 rand. This is for the purchasing of the hard copy. And those interested, they are to complete the order form to place the order. For people that are attending from outside of South Africa, international attendees, they may purchase the book from the Lulu bookstore. And the PDF, the soft copy, will be made available for those who opt not to purchase the book. It's currently not yet ready. I just need to add the cover to the PDF, which is quite a simple thing, but alhamdulillah, I've been kept quite busy with the admin of running this particular course. I didn't get around to doing that yet, but definitely before next week when the course starts, inshallah, then that PDF will be made available within Allah Ta'ala. There's also another book, which is called the Qurra Couplets, and that is available at a special price of 100 rand for those people that have registered for the course. So just to speak about that particular book very quickly. In Islam, we always have scholars that have put into poetry the knowledge of particular science. So many of you would have already studied the Tuhfatul Afan, the Jazariya, possibly of Imam Ibn al-Jazari. So the benefit of these poems is that through the rhyme and through the meter, it becomes easy to memorize. So you learn and memorize the rules of Tajweed through those particular poems. And you find this not only in Tajweed, but in all the Islamic sciences, that ulama, scholars, they have composed poetry regarding knowledge of Aqidah, of Hadith, and so on. And recently, we find that people are doing this now in the English language as well. Sheikh Ismail Lant has a English poem on Tajweed, and Yazid Jabbar has an English poem on Sarf and on Nahu. So I was inspired by them to also do something similar for the Qira'at. And so I compiled a poem on the names of the Qurra. I did it for my son so that they can learn the science, inshallah, but also for the students who are going to be attending this course. So that particular poem is included in the book itself. It is included in the book itself, Irshadul Talaba. However, I felt that there were certain things I want to do, clarify and explain a bit more. And so I wrote a brief commentary on the poem as well. But in order for the book not to be too long, I left out the commentary. So I put the commentary into a separate book. So this book over here, the Qurra Couplets, includes that poem as well as the poetry. So it's basically a companion text to the one that we are doing. But the poem itself is in both books. So this is just something extra if people are interested to have the printed copy of the commentary of that particular poem. And alhamdulillah, that's everything I wanted to explain. I didn't want to take too much time for this particular session. Hopefully it has been beneficial. Hopefully it has answered some of the questions you might have. And so in the remaining period of time, we'll just take some questions if there are any. Before we start with that though, there was one question that has been coming through quite a few times, which is with regard to recordings. People have been asking, are the recordings going to be available? They're busy with other things. They can't possibly attend maybe every particular session. So will the recordings be there? Initially, I was a bit conflicted as to whether to have the sessions recorded or not. The reason for that is I wouldn't like the sessions to be like this particular one. It's just me speaking all the time and I can't see anybody. I don't even know if anyone is listening. So it's a bit unusual to teach in such a manner. So I would like the actual sessions, which will be conducted via Zoom, to be a bit more interactive, for me to pose questions, for the attendees to respond, to answer, to give their feedback, and so on. And I know that if people are recorded, then they'll be a bit more hesitant to do that. So that is why I was actually going to ask the attendees and see what is their opinion. But then because so many people have been requesting this and wanting this, then I thought, okay, rather let me just say yes and have the sessions recorded. So the sessions will be recorded, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and it will be made available to those people that have registered for the course. So if there are any other questions, then we can take them now, inshallah. Okay, I see there are currently no questions. I'll maybe just give people a chance to respond. Okay, if there are no questions, I'm going to put my contact details in the chat so that if people have any questions afterwards, then they can contact me through that. I'm going to put the email address here. Okay, so أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك سبحانك الله العظيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته